Amen. 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 Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. We'll get in as much as we can, and then we'll stop. And you really need to make a choice to come back on Wednesday and get the rest or get whatever else is being served. Stop trying to survive on one meal a week. This is the New King James Version. You can read along with me in whatever translation you have. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you can read along with me. It's okay. Are you there? Okay, let's read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we need to understand, we're going to keep driving this thing home. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we need to stop thinking about how we used to be. That person no longer exists. He's been buried. What I'm finding at some of us need to find that old creature, dig him up, and cremate him. So you can't keep going back. Okay. Well, we're in a series, and I thought the series was going to be called Faith at Work, and I thought it was going to be, you know, adventures in faith and sharing with different people are doing with their faith. And God had something else in mind. Okay. I'll explain it to you this way. I shared this briefly at the end of healing class on Wednesday. In my opinion, one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time was John Wooden. Yes. He coached UCLA. Yes. And he coached for 12 years. At UCLA. And every single year, for 12 years, the first days of his practice were the same. He taught his players how to put on their socks and their sneakers. Now, we're talking about college athletes who have been playing basketball probably since they were 8, 9 years old. Now they're somewhere between 17 and 23. Some of them are returning players. They've been on his team for 2, 3 years already. They're probably thinking, we know, coach, you already taught us this. Every single practice, first practice, for every single year, he taught them, this is the way you put on your socks and your basketball shoes. He didn't care that he had superstars, world-class athletes. Each one of them was probably an all-city player in high school, and some of them were college All-Americas. He didn't care. If you're on his team, you're going to learn how to properly put on your socks and your they call them basketball shoes. Today we just call them expensive. Okay. Coach Wooden, he was big on fundamentals. And he told his players, if you don't put on your socks and your shoes properly, your feet will develop blisters from playing. And if your feet develop blisters, you can't play. And if you can't play, we can't be at our best. Because in order to be at our best, we need all team members available. All team members. Go quickly to Ephesians 4. Because Coach Wooden's philosophy was the team can't be its best unless everyone is able to play. Everyone. I was going to start from verse 11, but for time's sake, I'm going to start at verse 15 of Ephesians 4. You can read starting from verse 11 on when you want to. But it said, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. I'm in the New Living Translation, folks. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Listen to this. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So as a body of Christ, we can't be at our best. We can't be steadfast, immovable, always abounding if we have blisters on our feet. We're not available for service. We're not available. So we have to learn some very, very basic fundamental truths. I mean, for a basketball player, nothing's more fundamental than putting on your socks and your sneakers. You can't even walk out on the court unless you have them on. And the other thing that I found out about Coach Wooden is he never talked to his team about winning. You know what he talked to them about? Fundamentals. Because he understood if you master the fundamentals, you'll win championships. And he proved that what he was saying was true, because in his 12 years of coaching, UCLA won 10 national championships. 10 championships in 12 years, stressing fundamentals. He said drills must be created so that all the fundamentals are taught in a manner that will cause the players to execute them automatically. That means when situations happen, you just move. You don't have to start thinking about, oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, this guy's so big. It just kicks in. Because it's become who you are. So yeah, I may be teaching this on a very, very basic level, but there are some fundamentals that we haven't gotten. There's some things that we overlook. We don't purposely say, I'm not going to do it. We've just become, it just happened. You know, and one of those things that just happened is that we love the I'm going to get scriptures. We love them. We love all the scriptures that talk about what God's going to do for us and how God's blessed us. Is there anybody here that doesn't like the prosperity scriptures? We love them. Give. And what happens? How? Good. That's right. See, James said it the way everybody thinks it. Good measure. Yes, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into our bosom. So we almost walk around to people like this, you know, saying, just pour into me. But that's not all of it says. That's the last thing that it says. Let's look at what the whole thing says. Because you, for some of us, it's like, okay, I'm giving generously, but nothing's happening. Let's start at verse 27. This is in the Passion Translation. But if you will listen, responsibility. I have to listen. If you will listen, I say to you, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Oops. When someone curses you, bless that person in return. When you are mistreated and harassed by others, accept it as your mission to pray for them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands everywhere who does this. Verse 29. To those who despise you, continue to serve them and minister to them. And you're doing it to those who despise you. If someone takes away your coat, listen to this. Give him as a gift your shirt as well. So God is, you know, he's saying, I don't want to give anybody a shirt off your back. God is literally saying, give them the shirt off your back. Okay. I just want it to be given again unto me. Well, listen. When someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. When things are wrongly taken from you, do not demand they be given back. However you wish to be treated by others is how you should treat everyone else. Are you really showing true love by only loving those who love you back? Even those who don't know God will do that. Are you really showing compassion when you do good deeds only to those who do good deeds to you? Even those who don't know God will do that. If you lend money only to those who you know will repay you, what credit is that to your character? Even those who don't know God do that. But love your enemies and continue to treat them well. When you lend money, don't despair if you are never paid back, for it is not lost. You will receive a rich reward, and you will be known as true children of the Most High God, having the same nature, for your Father is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and cruel. Think about that. Show mercy and compassion for others, just as your Heavenly Father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. Jesus said, forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others. And then you will not be criticized and judged in return. Don't look at others and pronounce them guilty. And you will not experience guilty accusations yourself. Forgive over and over. That doesn't mean you just do it twice. Okay. And you will be forgiven over and over. Then it gets to give. Okay? Then you work your way down to give. But we don't like doing good to people who harm us or who despise us, who say evil things about us. Well, mommy taught me gave me a very good principle about that. She got called up to school because I punched someone out because he called her a name. Because in those days, if someone talked about your mama, it was a fight. I mean, that was just that was just the way it was. And with me, you didn't get it all out. Yumba, done. Okay. And she came up to school and she said, "Son, why did you do that?" And like, "Mine, but he said you were." She said, "Well, is that true?" I'm like, "No, that's not true." She said, "Then it doesn't matter what he said because it's a lie." Then she said, "But what if it was true?" I said, "It's not true." She said, "I know that, but what if it was? It wouldn't matter what he said because it would be the truth." She said, "So either way, son, it doesn't matter what they say." And I was like, "But, oh, okay." Then people will come and they say, you know, "Foots, your mama." I just keep going on about my business. And I never had to go back to the principal's office for fighting about that anymore. But there's a principle, there's a fundamental, and I'm going to use the term hidden, in Matthew 4. And this is when Jesus was led by the Spirit. Led by who? Spirit. Yep, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He wasn't. God didn't lead him in the spirit into the desert so God could tempt him. He said, he fasted for 40 days. And how do you feel after you don't eat for 40 days? Hungry. That's right. Verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, in Matthew 4, the King James Version, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. And we get excited about that. You know, and the enemy comes, you tell him, it is written. It is written. What's written? Let me find out. Okay. But that's not the fun. Here's the fundamental. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, what is that?
Every word.
What word? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what's the fundamental? We need to act on every word that proceedeth out of God's mouth. And what happens is we act on some of the words that proceed out of God's mouth. And because of that, parts of our development are incomplete. Not because we don't love God, not because we don't want to do it right, but because we're not looking at every word. And if we're not looking at every word and our information is incomplete, then what we think we have is not really real because I don't have all of the information. I don't know all of the steps. I only know some of the steps. If you're playing football and you want to be a kicker and they snap, they put the ball down and you just stand there because you didn't know you were supposed to kick. You didn't read that part or you thought that part didn't apply. We're very good. We'll tell the one that has a place to ball down, make sure you place the ball in the proper position. Make sure you turn the laces away. Yeah, but when it's all said and done, you got to kick it. Okay? You have to kick it. This says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus further said in John 6:33, I believe it is, says, the spirit that quickeneth, the words that I speak unto you, the words, what I say to you, everything I say to you is spirit and it is life. So we need to look at every word as being spirit. We have to look at every word as being critical to our life. And if we don't look at every word, we're not going to be sound fundamentally. We'll be lacking. John Wooden, his players, when you read interviews with some of his players, they were too tired with him. Practice going over the same plays and the same drills over and over and over and over. It's like, I can do them in my sleep. That's the point. Where it just kicks in. Folks, that's the way our bodies are. I was walking yesterday and I was experiencing some leg cramps. Every time my leg cramped, I didn't have to say, okay, right hand, my leg is cramping. Now I want you to bend down and just lightly massage the muscle and the cramp will go away. I didn't have to say that. It cramped. It was like immediately. It just happened. You know why people break their wrists when they fall? Because immediately your hands go forward. Why? To help. That's the way we need to be. That's how responsive we need to be with the word. The minute something happens, the word kicks in. Because that's the way we've been rewired. We have to stop going through the motions. Or I should say, what it's better said that we wind up going through the motions, not because we're lazy or shiftless or don't care, but really because we don't know, because we haven't paid attention to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We paid attention to some. We know the biggies, but we don't get down to the nitty-gritty of it where it becomes foundational for us. Look at Psalm 1. I want you to see these. These are all, I believe they're all, mostly King James. We have one translation in the Passion. But Psalm 9, verse 1. Psalm 9. I said Psalm 1, probably. Yeah. Psalm 9, verse 1. I apologize. Are you there? Let's read it together. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So God expects that we praise him with our whole heart. That means it shouldn't be a centimeter of our heart that's for something else. Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12, King James Version. Are you there? Let's read that. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. You are to love the Lord Yahweh your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you. When I first read that a couple of weeks ago, I just shouted out, whoa, wait a minute. Let me read that again. With every passion of your heart. I shouldn't be passionate about anything more than I am passionate about God. My passion for God should be greater than any other passion I experience. With all the energy of my being, everything that keeps me going should love God. Everything. And here's the one that's hard for me. I know you folks got this one, but this one's hard for me. That's a negative confession. I'm just being honest with you. All right? With every thought that is within you. So that means anytime I think ill of someone, I'm not loving God. I'm not demonstrating love for God. Because it's like, okay, thoughts, this part over here, you keep loving God. This part, you take care of all the rest of the people. I mean, that's not living my life based on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that means, and this, folks, I'm sorry for how it may sound, but if that's the way we are not really loving God the way he wants us to love him. And it's important that we understand that because it's fundamental. It says it's the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you. If I'm not doing that, then my love for God ain't the real thing. Because I'm allowing other things to get in there and take what belongs to God. We don't see it that way, but we need to start seeing it that way because that's the way it is. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is what keeps us going. Every word. We can't hold back. Now, we know, because I'm going to tell you how we... God never just tells us something and he doesn't, you know, give us instructions on how to arrive at that point. We know that it has something to do with faith. So how do we know that? Hebrews 10:38 says the just shall live how? By faith. Romans 10:17 tells us how it comes, right? It says faith comes by hearing. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. As I told you before, faith is what puts meat on the bones you know, of the word God has spoken to you. Okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And 2 Corinthians say that because we have the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believe, therefore I speak. So we know that faith has a place in there. And it's like, okay, what is it about faith that I'm missing? What is it about faith that's preventing me from receiving every word that comes out of the mouth of God? Well, when I look at me and I look at, okay, why won't I believe every word? Well, some of it takes too long. That's the first, it takes too long. Others, it's hard. It is. Others, it's, you know, every time I try and believe, somebody gets on my nerves. And then I got to stop and try and deal with that. And then by the time that's over, it's like, now, what was I thinking about? You know, that's okay, God, I have the mind of Christ. I can remember. Because the devil is saying, see, you're starting to get dementia and all this other dealing with all this other stuff just because I'm not meditating on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I haven't done what's necessary so that my faith bursts forth. So listen to this. In 2 Timothy 1, we're getting closer to it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, King James. Now, Timothy was pastor of a megachurch in Ephesus. I mean, megachurch. And his church was, Aphrodite's temple was even bigger. And he had to come up, he was standing against all of those as a very young minister. And Paul says to him in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He was telling them, I know unfeigned faith is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. And unfeigned just means sincere, means without hypocrisy. The Common English Bible says, I'm reminded of your authentic faith. The Phillips says, I often think of that genuine faith. And the Worldwide English New Testament says, I remember that you really believe. And it's critical because it's letting us know that we can exhibit faith that is not sincere. We can exhibit faith that's not genuine. We can consider faith that's not real. And we don't want anyone in that position. Anyone. I don't know anyone today. I want phony faith. No, we want our faith to be the real thing. You agree? Amen. Tell your neighbor, I want my faith to be the real thing. So that means we can't leave anything out. We can't leave anything out. Okay, here we... All right, we're going into drive. Okay, we're cooking, notching into third gear. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, and I'm sharing this out of the Passion Translation. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises, that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in this world. So, because of what I just said, devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness. Faith by itself is not sufficient. Faith by itself is not as powerful as it can be if you don't add goodness. And then after you add goodness, you have to add understanding. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I understand that. And you won't be able to do it. And so when you say you're standing in faith, how can you stand on something you don't understand it? Remember the parable of the sower? When you hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then comes the enemy who does what? Takes away the word that was sown in your heart. And to understanding, add the strength of self-control. If I don't have self-control is one of the things that allows us to wait. Because we understand God said it. God said it. So I can stay calm because he made me a promise and he won't stop now. So all I need to know, God said it. I'm done because he said it. It says strength of self-control. That means something different to me. See, that means that self-control will physically and literally stop me from doing something that I shouldn't do. Because by faith, I know God's got it under control. It will change in his time. I can just leave it alone. Or that strength of self-control means that I have the power to do that which I am supposed to do. Like get up and get on the Max 4 trainer. And to self-control, patient endurance. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Well, folks are fainting all over the place. Why? They haven't added patient endurance to their faith, so their faith is not the real thing because it's lacking. And to endurance, add godliness. Why did he put that in there? Add godliness. Keep your character under control. Keep living like you know who you are in Christ, no matter what comes. Amen. No matter what comes. Because faith says you can do that. Amen. So since you can do that, you add to it. You add godliness. And to godliness, because you're living the way God wants you to live, you can show mercy towards your brothers and sisters. And I thought it was interesting that this didn't specify brothers and sisters in Christ. It just says brothers and sisters. But let's just suppose for a moment that he was talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Why are there cliques in churches? Why is it that we'll look at someone, we'll see someone coming, and we'll, walk the other way like we're talking. Say, oh, Elder Bill, you know, I've been meaning to say something to you. I don't remember what it was, but I've been meaning to say it. You know, and you say, Lord, and you see the person go by, so I'll call you. And you go on about your business because the person that you didn't want to talk to has passed. God's watching. And so is the world. They're watching. If we're in faith and our faith is the real thing, we can do that because we will have added that to our faith. And to mercy towards others, towards your brothers and sisters, add unending love. Unending. I've said it before. If you fall out of love with someone, you never loved them in the first place. Because the Bible says love never fades, never fails, never fades out, never comes to an end. The Word of God says love never comes to an end. That's why I can't say I used to love you. No, that means I never loved you. It says, since these virtues are already planted deep within. And I said, wait a minute. You just telling me I got to add all this stuff to me and it's already deep within? Yeah, but I'm not going to get it unless I dig it out and let it spring up. Me letting it spring up is adding it. Otherwise, it stays. It does no good when it's in seed, still a seed. I have to allow it to grow. I have to allow it to come to fruition. I have to allow it to blossom. I have to do that. God did his part. He put it in me. I have to let it come out so it can be added to my faith. I mean, if you want to bake a lemon meringue pie, I heard the ums. and you go and you get the pan. You like regular crust or graham cracker crust? How many graham crackers we have in here? Okay, how many regular crusts? Well, it looks like graham crackers eggs here, so we use a graham cracker crust. You put there. Then you take the lemons. You don't take the time to squeeze them, to roll them and get the juice out of them. You just put the lemons on top of the graham cracker crust. It's in there. And you take the eggs, the egg whites. You don't whip them up. You just pour it over. Lemon meringue pie. No, everything is there, but you haven't developed it. You haven't brought out the characteristics of it. You haven't used it properly. Use a little lemons. Oh, I know what I forgot. Get the sugar and just pour some sugar over there. It's got to be sweet. And just pop it in the oven. You have a mess. And that lemon meringue pie ain't going to taste like the real thing, baby. It's going to taste like a mess. Well, some of us have similar types of mess because God put it in us. We didn't allow it to become a part of us. We haven't added it to us. So our faith isn't genuine. And so that's why we're having issues believing through things, because we're believing using incomplete faith. Because we're missing something. Either we're harboring something, we're not giving God our all, whatever it is, we're impatient. Pastor Sarah taught a lesson, heirs can afford to wait. The key there is knowing you are an heir. And we can wait. Wherever faith is, goodness, understanding, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, mercy, and unending love should also be there. All of it should be there all of the time. Saying, I'm operating in faith, and you're also saying, I'm operating in goodness, I'm operating in understanding, I'm operating in self-control, I'm operating in patient endurance, I'm operating in godliness, I'm operating in mercy towards my brothers and sisters, and I'm operating in unending love. Every time I'm in faith, I'm also in those other qualities. If my faith is real, if my faith is sincere, it's fundamental. And we need to keep repeating this over and 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 over. You feel like you're getting out of breath, you take a breath, repeat it over and over and over and over and over until it becomes automatic. It just kicks in. We went to Thursday night, we went to the Met game, our grandchildren and children treated us to a Met game. Our grandson likes the Mets and the Cubs. He said he's going to get a license plate that says Cubs Mets when he's old enough to drive. And since they were playing the Cubs, he was in a no-lose situation. But I noticed something. I was talking with my wife about it. When we went to games, and we didn't go to baseball, we didn't know each other when we were going to baseball games. So she and I had never been to a baseball game by ourselves yet. But we are. But I said to her, when I last Met game I was that I went to, they didn't have all the electronic music and signs and all that. They had an organ. They go, dun, 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 and everyone would go, yes, you know. And then then they would start. Let's go Mets. Let's go Mets. Didn't need anything extra. We're at the game, and they have an electronic gun. Thump, thump, thump. And first of all, I'm like, what is that? Then you look around the people they're having conversations. No one's saying, let's go Mets, let's go Mets. Why am I telling you that? Because we try all these different alternatives. You know, we think that it sounds better. Well, there's nothing like the real thing. There was nothing, you could feel the electricity in the stadium. When you walked into Shea Stadium, and you sat down, and Mets started rallying, you know, and everybody said, you got to believe, you got to believe. I mean, it was it. They didn't need things flashing on the screen or musical. They didn't need any of that because all of that was in them. Now we need a keyboard that gives 657 different electronic sounds. You know, and all of these different things. How about just coming up and singing what's in your heart? Amen. I'm telling you that to let you know everything that we need for our faith to be genuine is in us. We need to stop looking for something else. Stop looking for something that we think it's new, it's exciting, it's different. Amen. Well, all through time, faith, genuine faith worked. Why do you want to change it? And stop thinking that you're the only one that knows the answers. Stop thinking that. Because please, folks, stop telling other people how they should or shouldn't be believing. Amen. Stop doing that. Go to God and find out what you are supposed to be doing. And things will get better for you. And that person sees things getting better for you, and they'll come and they'll say, why is this happening? And then you don't tell them what they're supposed to do. You say, look, this is what I do. I've added to my faith goodness, mercy, self-control, unending love. And I let those things prevail and leave it alone. Leave it alone. God has not beaten me over the head with anything yet. And we have to stop doing the same thing. We have to understand that as long as we add, because the scripture ends and says, if you do these things, you will never stumble or fall. Never. So if you're stumbling around, it's because your faith isn't genuine. You've left some things out. You need to go to the Holy Ghost, find what it is that you've left out, and start adding to it. Or I should say, start adding it to your faith, and you will notice things changing for the better, and it'll start happening instantly. And by instantly, I mean situations will happen, and you'll just operate in it. You don't have to sit back and think, okay, is this a love thing? Do I need to forgive here? I'm not sure. Which one of those is it? I don't know. Which one? No, it'll come automatically. When I was playing basketball, you probably remember this, Deacon Tony, and you're the only one back on defense, and they're coming at you with 2-on-1. Well, you do that drill every practice for at least 15, 20 minutes. You wait till you make the guy with the ball think that you're only thinking about him. You know there's another player coming, and you know as soon as you move towards him, he's going to give the ball to his teammate for a layup or a dunk, and you're going to be, as they say in today's terms, you're going to be posterized. Okay. So, no, you stay there, and you make to the last minute. You act like you're committed to this, and because you're in shape, because you've practiced moving laterally, before the guy can notice, as soon as you notice him raising his hands to throw the pass, you slide over, and by the time the ball gets there, you're there. And you just stand there like this. Guy runs into you, referee blows the whistle, no basket, charge, look at the guy on the floor, and you run down court. Automatically, I'm like, coach, what should I do? You learned it in practice. That's right. You need to sit down next to me. No, there's nothing like the real thing, but you don't get the real thing unless you work at it. You got to work this thing. Every single, we have situations every day to use all of the things that we need to add. I mean, you had most of them just driving to church this morning. Yeah. But if you want the real thing, folks, if you want to experience acts of faith, you're going to have to pay attention to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Otherwise, your faith won't work. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you for the word that you've shared with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we understand what you're saying. You've already deposited what we need in us. We need to let it grow and harvest it and let it become part of who we are. Let it become part of our faith. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is our operating system. And we need to have all of the components present and functioning. Thank you, Lord, that you'll bring to our remembrance those areas in which that we've ignored for whatever reason. And Lord, you'll allow us to be drilled till we get to the place where we're no longer like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because you don't want us tossed to and fro. You want us steady. And the only way we can be steady is to have a genuine faith. a genuine faith, a real faith that loves, that endures, that stands. And we thank you, Lord, in the days and weeks and months to come, that we practice to the point where this happens to us automatically. We just flow in it. We just operate in it because it has become who we are. It's become the essence of our being. And we thank you for bringing it to our attention. Thank you for sharing with us how to correct it. And thank you for the fruit that we're going to bear because we do it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And see, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell didn't know what they were saying when they said, ain't nothing like the real thing. There is nothing like the real thing. We need to make sure that it's the real thing. I remember years ago when they first started with tape recording. Remember that commercial, Dan? Is it live or is it Memorex? Okay. We don't want any Memorex faith. We want it to be live. We don't want it to sound like. We're very good at making things sound like we're in faith. And we do that because it makes people leave us alone. No, it's Memorex. It's not the real thing, but it's going to become the real thing because we're going to add to it the things that need to be added.